Hey, this is Leo for Actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about what I call lifestyle minimalism, how you can double the happiness in your life by just slowing the fuck down. The pace of your life is totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. It's too damn fast. It's too hectic. You have no time to contemplate. You have no time to introspect. You have no time to be aware or conscious. You have no time to strategize. And you have no time for being. Being as opposed to doing. You're all wrapped up in doing. And this distinction between being and doing is such an important distinction that I'm going to actually shoot a separate episode in the future about it, but we're going to gloss over it here, and I'm going to show you how the pace of your life is affecting the quality of your life, which is something you've probably never considered before. As part of your self-actualization journey, what we're doing here together, you know, self-improvement, this whole journey that we're on to improve ourselves, to grow ourselves, whatever you want to call that, personal development, self-help, or whatever. As part of this journey, you're changing your life around, right? You're learning new stuff, you're installing new habits, maybe you're meditating or whatever, you're changing your relationships, you're going to the gym more and this kind of stuff, right? You're eating more healthy. Okay, that's good. Now, let me show you a kind of a high-level change, structural change you need to actually make to the entirety of your life, how you live your whole life and your entire lifestyle. And what that is that you need to make a strategic change and slow down your life. Strategically, you're doing this strategically. This is not something you just do for a few days or a few weeks. This is something like a change, a high-level change you make to your life from here on out until your death. And you need to find ways to do this. There's multiple ways that you can do this, not just one way. There's probably a dozen different little changes you need to make to your life. But the gist of it is that you need to slow way down. Slow way down. I'm talking about slowing your life down on the order of 25% to 50% slower than it currently is. What does this actually mean? This means that you do 50% less shit. Whatever activities you're involved with or are committed to, you do 50% less of those every day, every week, every month. And those activities that remain, you do those activities 50% slower, and they take 50% longer than they would have otherwise taken you. So even something like sitting down to have a meal, which maybe normally you would scoff down in 10 minutes, instead of doing it that way, now you're going to do it, instead of in 10 minutes, you're going to do it in 15 minutes, and you're going to do it more mindfully with more awareness. That's basically what we're talking about. That's just one example. But you see, your life is composed of many of these examples. You don't just eat. You also do a bunch of other stuff. So apply this principle to everything you do in your life. You see? That's basically what I'm telling you here. Now, the reason I even started thinking about this topic lately is because I was hanging out with my girlfriend, and she has a fetish for minimalism. She's been reading some books on minimalism, and the kind of minimalism she's talking about is like what I would call material minimalism. So it's all about this kind of movement. Maybe you've heard of this. This movement of like reducing and decluttering the physical objects in your life so that you don't have too much clothing in your wardrobe and that you don't have too much stuff in your garage and this sort of thing. Now, I think that's a really cool thing, and I personally am pretty guilty of not being minimalist. I have a bunch of shit around my place that I don't really need that I should probably trash, and I can see the benefits of that. But anyways, I was thinking about this because she was telling me about it. She's passionate about this. And as I was thinking about this, I realized, like, well, what's even more important than physical minimalism is sort of like what I would call a lifestyle minimalism. Because just decluttering the physical objects from your life, that's good. But what's even more important is decluttering all the activities that are bogging you down, bogging down your schedule, and sucking up all your free time. Most people these days, the Western typical lifestyle leaves no free time. Have you noticed this? There's no free time in your schedule if you've got the typical American or Western lifestyle. You go to work, and then after work, you do all this other stuff, and before work, you're busy, and you're just constantly busy from morning to midnight. This is a big problem. The basic idea here is that you want to aim for living a simple life, a simple Spartan lifestyle. In the ancient times, the ancient Romans, they actually had an ideal, a kind of a cultural ideal of living a Spartan, frugal lifestyle. Now, of course, a lot of Romans, like the aristocrats, they lived very lavish, extravagant lifestyles. But generally, as a culture, you know, not everyone in Rome was an aristocrat. Most people were just regular middle class or even lower class folk. And for them, there was some kind of ideal about the Spartan lifestyle. And even for the aristocracy, there was still that ideal of, like, you know, ideally you would live the way that a philosopher lives, or the way that a monk lives, or the way that an ascetic lives, which is just like a very simple, very basic way of life. You don't pamper yourself too much. And we need to get back to that kind of ideal, which is what I'm advocating here in this episode. The benefit of this is that you have lots of free time to think. Think of it this way. You can measure your wealth in terms of how much money you have in your bank account, or you can measure your wealth in terms of how much free time you have to think and to contemplate and just to be aware, or to be rather than to do. We don't really think of this as something that's very valuable, to have free time to think. But actually, this is one of the most valuable things you can have because it directly impacts your levels of fulfillment in life. If you minimize the involvements that you have in life, all the activities and hobbies and all that crap that you do, if you minimize all that and you leave only the bare essentials, what you'll discover is that your life becomes very, very fulfilling. It's shocking because most people think, like, well, what I need to get fulfillment in my life is more success and more money. And then they go chase that for 10 years. And the correlation between success and fulfillment is much lower than the correlation between free time and fulfillment. Free time to contemplate and to be aware. That's what really produces fulfillment. Have you noticed that the Western lifestyle that we live these days is not at all conducive to self-actualization work? Maybe you've tried to implement some of the stuff I tell you through these episodes, and you've tried, like, for a month or two or even more. Maybe you tried to install a meditation habit or eating healthier or some kind of being more mindful in relationships, this kind of stuff, right? Being more mindful of your emotions. You try to do this. And maybe you try some of the exercises that I show you in various episodes. Usually towards the end, I give you an exercise, right? If you try one of those, you've probably noticed that it's hard, right? It's hard. It's hard to do this. One of the reasons is that your mind is just stubborn and it doesn't like to change. But another reason is that the environment that you're in is extremely unhealthy and neurotic. It's not conducive to self-actualization work at all, because that's not what modern society is about. This is not an accident. Not at all an accident. You have to start to realize that the modern lifestyle that you have grown up in, that you're kind of like a fish in water. You don't see the environment that you're in because you're totally surrounded by it, and you have been probably from your very birth. Everyone you know, from your friends to your family to your coworkers to your boss and your preacher and your teacher and your professor, all of these people are in on it, right? They're all part of the problem. They're all part of the modern lifestyle. Most of them are, anyways. So you don't really have any good examples of what a proper, healthy, emotionally healthy, self-actualized lifestyle looks like. The modern lifestyle is neurotic and it's unhealthy, and it's not how human beings lived in the past. This is more or less kind of a modern development of the human species. It wasn't always this way. And it's really exacerbated by the rise of technology. Technology takes it to a whole new level. A whole new level of unhealthiness. And that's one of the reasons why things like depression and anxiety and phobias are rampant, way worse than they were 100 years ago or a couple thousand years ago, right? Because human beings are not meant to live the way we live right now. We've kind of domesticated ourselves in a very toxic way. And you don't realize this yet until you're able to kind of like get a clearing, a parting of the clouds, until you see a ray of light shining through, until someone gives you an example of really what a high quality lifestyle looks like. And it might not be at all what you think it is. For example, some people ask me to post videos about like what my lifestyle looks like. They tell me like, well, Leo, post us some videos about like what your day is like. You know, I bet you have the best lifestyle. You have such a cool lifestyle. But you know what? If I posted you a video of my typical day, it would be extremely boring to you. It would probably be so boring to you that you would look at it and you'd like scratch your head and you'd be like wondering like, well, what the fuck, Leo? Why am I even following you and listening to you and doing all this self-actualization stuff? Because it seems like you're just living like the most basic, the most ordinary, unlavish lifestyle possible. Like, I don't need to work hundreds or thousands of hours to get that kind of lifestyle. I could get that right now. But see, what you fail to realize if you think that way is that actually it'll take you years and maybe even decades to come to the point where you're actually gonna finally grasp with your mind what I'm talking about here and the reason that I'm doing this with my life, right? I don't want a lavish and extravagant lifestyle. Why not? Because I know that it's not going to make me fulfilled. You see? It's only going to make me more busy. It's going to be a veneer of success and a kind of a veneer of growth and development, but it's not going to be the real deal. It's not. So let's get back on point here. Basically, what I'm telling you is that your schedule is too full. You're trying to do too damn much too fast. And this fast pace that you're going at is making you unaware of life. It's impossible to be mindful and conscious in your life when you have a fast pace. For many of you, that's exactly why you have a fast pace, is because when you first start to become conscious and aware, it's actually painful. And to avoid that pain, what you do is you put the pedal to the metal. And you increase the pace. And any time you get a little bit of free room in your schedule, like, you know, some time frees up or something like that, you immediately fill the vacuum with some other mindless activity. Because you can't stand being, because you're literally addicted to doing. And you're addicted to success. See? You can really get a taste for this. You can really notice this if you ever do a meditation retreat or some kind of consciousness retreat. I've been doing a lot of these lately over the last couple of years. And one of the most amazing experiences, and I'm not the only person, I know people who have gone through this exact same experience, is you go to something like, let's say, a 10-day Vipassana meditation retreat. At this retreat, it's total silence. You're not allowed to speak for 10 days straight. You're also not allowed to use the internet or cell phones or anything. So there you are for 10 days doing absolutely nothing. You're just basically meditating for 10, 12 hours a day. And the first 3 to 5 days are real tough. It's really painful because you're going through withdrawal symptoms because you're addicted to this stuff. But then after, you know, the fifth day, actually it feels wonderful. Finally, you get back to that original place, that kind of place where I would guess, you know, people as humanity, well, we used to live in this place all the time. Before the advent of agriculture and big civilizations happened and religion happened, technology happened, education happened, and politics happened, before all that kind of stuff, you know, human beings just lived very simply as hunter-gatherers. And life was a lot more simple. It was like this. It was like a meditation retreat. But then here's the really weird part that happens, is that after you're done, you know, you're feeling amazing on the 10th day of the retreat. Like, you're glowing. You're probably the happiest and most fulfilled you've ever been in your entire life. After those 10 days. And then immediately you walk back into the airport. And the airport, everybody's running around. Everyone's, you know, crazy and rowdy and everybody's talking. And then, you know, your cell phone starts blowing up because all your friends are texting you and your girlfriend or boyfriend is texting you. Your family is texting you. Where have you been for 10 days? You know, your business colleagues are texting you, your customers, your clients, all this stuff. So you just get sucked right back in to the fast-paced lifestyle within just a few days. And that glow and that fulfillment that you tasted is just completely gone. You forget about it. And the way that it happens is it's really sneaky. It happens to you in such a way that you're not even conscious that it happens to you. You have to go to a couple of retreats before you really start to notice what's going on here. But most people, they just go to one of these retreats once or twice in their life. And then for the rest of their life, they never experience that kind of level of fulfillment and peace and satisfaction that they had during these 10 days. Never again. To them, it's just like a vacation. Or it just feels like, oh, it's just, you know, it's a temporary special thing. And I shouldn't expect to live my normal life this way. Well, what if we turn that around? And what if we made the bulk of your life like a Vipassana retreat? You know, very slow paced, very conscious, very deliberate, very mindful, and very present. So that you're being more than you're doing. And then there's going to be short intervals in your life where, you know, you're going to go and you're going to do some fast paced stuff here or there, but those are going to be sporadic moments. Basically, the inverse of what you're living right now. So I want to help you to actually imagine this. Let's do a very short visualization, just a couple of minutes here. All right. Go ahead, get seated, sit with your back up straight, and close your eyes. I just want to quickly get you in touch with what I'm talking about here. All right. So you're having your eyes closed. Take a couple of nice deep breaths and just relax. Get into the present moment. Clear any images you have in your mind so your mind is completely blank. And now what I'd like you to do is imagine what your life would look like and feel like if you slowed your life down by 50%. Imagine what your life would feel like and look like if you slowed it down by 50%. And just take a little bit of time to imagine it. Especially the feeling. I want you to connect to the feeling. How would you feel if your life was slowed down by 50%? How would you feel in your body? How would that impact the quality of your life? How would it influence the fulfillment levels that you have on a daily basis? How would it affect your mood? Okay, take a few final moments to wrap that up. Okay, good. And now you can open your eyes and we're done with that visualization. Very, very simple. Now, the question is, what did you imagine? Did you actually get in touch with what it would feel like? And if you did, it should have felt nice, right? It should have felt very nice. Your mind should intuitively know that slowing your pace down is going to make you feel better. It's going to influence and improve your mood and the fulfillment of your life. Now, that's if you're kind of wise and you have a good sense of intuition. For some of you, you might be so sucked into the fast-paced lifestyle that just by visualizing what I was saying, your mind might have actually visualized negatives. And it might have said like something like, oh, but then, you know, I'm not going to be successful. And, you know, my life is going to be so boring and it's not going to be exciting and it's not going to be fun, like this kind of stuff. So if for you, this visualization wasn't a nice visualization, but kind of a negative visualization, that just shows you how out of touch you are with being. You're addicted. You're addicted to stimulation and to success. See? And don't think this is a good thing. This is not a positive addiction. This is a very negative addiction. Because you're not able to be fulfilled. And your success, realize this, that your success doesn't count for shit if you're not fulfilled. You see? The only reason you're pursuing success supposedly in the first place is to find fulfillment. But those two things can diverge. And they can take you in opposite directions, right? Fulfillment can be over here and success can be over there. And they can just take you 1,000 miles apart. So you got to be very mindful of that. What needs to happen is you need to start to cultivate being instead of doing. This is a cultivation. This is something that is kind of an acquired taste at first. Especially in modern society, because we've just been so detached from being that you probably haven't really connected to being for years or even decades. Maybe you have to go back all the way to your childhood to really get some juicy memories of the sweetness and satisfaction of being rather than doing. Or maybe you can think of something a little bit more recent, like a vacation you took or a trip out to some national park that you took. Or, you know, other kinds of activities like that, maybe a meditation retreat that you did, something like that, that can get you a real palpable sense of what being is and why it's so important, why I'm stressing it here, right? Why am I even talking about it? You must strategically declutter your life. And to do that, what this means is you have to pull out of activities, you have to pull out of commitments, pull out of hobbies, and you have to break relationships and ties with people. And this is all scary stuff to do. You might not yet see the value of doing this. It might seem like, oh, Leo, you know, my hobbies, they give me pleasure and joy. Why would I pull out of those? And, you know, my activities, you know, hanging out with my friends and socializing and all the partying I do and going to clubs, you know, this stuff gives me joy in my life, Leo. So why would I want to pull out of those? And what about my relationships? You know, that's crazy to break relationships and ties with people. That's crazy. Why would I want to do that? But see, that's exactly what I'm talking about, is that you do have to do this. And this is a counterintuitive move. Another one of those counterintuitive moves that we come across so often in self-actualization work. More than just doing this, I'll get back to this point in more depth, but more than just pulling out of these things, what you also have to do, and this is the most important part, is that you have to keep saying no to new stuff that comes by you. So not only do you pull out of hobbies and activities and friendships and socialization, relationships and all this stuff, you pull out of all that, and then you're very, very vigilant to make sure that you don't re-engage any other kind of mindless activities, which will inevitably come your way. People will come to you and they will tell you, hey, do this for me and do that for me. And let's go do this together. And let's go to the movies and let's go to the beach and all this kind of stuff. And you have to say, no, 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 no. And you have to keep saying no for the rest of your life because people will keep coming to you and putting stuff and presenting it to you. Right? These are all distractions, but they don't feel like distractions. They don't feel like distractions at first. You have to spend a few years just kind of like extricating yourself out of this mire and muck, this quagmire that you're in of distractions and hobbies and shit. Then when you look upon things that come your way, you'll be like, oh, that's obviously distraction. But right now, you can't see that. And this whole process is going to be very difficult, very challenging for you. And the biggest challenge here goes way deeper than just pulling out of a few hobbies or commitments or breaking a few relationships. What I'm really getting at here, here's kind of like the really bitter pill that I want you to swallow. And I want you to kind of open your mind to this, because this is a very bitter pill. One of the biggest challenges in your life, if you're going to really self-actualize, you're going to take this project on seriously, is that you're going to have to make a very counterintuitive long-range strategic move to renounce material life altogether. To do this, you have to be a strategic thinker. I have an episode that talks about strategic thinking. And some people watch that episode and then they wonder, well, but how do I apply this in my life? You know, strategic thinking, it seems kind of abstract. How does this relate to self-actualization? Well, here's one example for you. And I'll give you more in the future, but here's one very concrete one. Strategically, as a strategic thinker, you see what will happen if you keep living your life the way that everyone around you is living your life. You see that if you do that, you're going to get exactly the same kind of results that they get. And you see that they don't get very good results. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, they don't get good results. Even your successful rich boss, he doesn't have good results in his life. He's not fulfilled with his life. Don't confuse success with fulfillment. So seeing this, now your mind starts to see like, oh, there might be a counterintuitive move here. In the long term, maybe what I got to do is I got to renounce material life altogether. Because it doesn't fucking work. And then you strategize and you say, okay, how do I do that? What are the pieces I got to put together to actually follow through on this strategy? And basically what you have to say before you start implementing is you have to just be honest with yourself and you say, okay, basically what I'm committing to is I'm committing to not have a life. I mean, I'm alive and I'm going to stay alive until I die, but I'm committing to, you know, in common parlance, as they say, to not have a life. I'm going to be one of those people who doesn't have a life. So that when a group of friends looks at me, they're going to be like, man, that guy's a boring ass person. What is he doing? He's got like a stick up his ass. He's no fun. Right? Because you've committed to not having a life ever, ever. You're never going to have a life anymore. You see? This is what self-actualization is. You're committing to not having a life. But it's counterintuitive. It's so counterintuitive. It's super counterintuitive because in committing to not having a life, actually what you gain is you gain true life. Because the shit you have now that you call life, having a fucking life, that's not a life. That's you being a fucking gerbil in a wheel, spinning round and round and round. That's not fucking life. You're like a domesticated cow. And you're calling that life. And what I'm showing you is real life, which doesn't look like life at first from your perspective, right? It's the life of living out on the, you know, on the prairie or out in the woods, in the wilderness. Now, a domesticated cow, once it gets comfortable being domesticated, it can rationalize to itself like, well, you know, I don't want to go out into the woods because that means I'd have to like go roam for food. That might be difficult. You know, there might be wolves out there and predators. You know, that might be dangerous. And, you know, I just want to stay safe in my little herd. And you're going to have that. You're going to have the, you know, the fear of taking this kind of leap into the unknown. Because it sure feels like, well, Leo, you know, renouncing life, not having a life, this is not what I'm in for. That's not why I started self-actualization. And of course, you're right. Because you started self-actualization because your ego comes into this process and it has this dream of the hyperactive lifestyle, the glamorous lifestyle, the lifestyle of success and fame and luxury and all this kind of stuff. That's what you come into this with. That's kind of like the initial childish little dream you have. But we've come to the point where we have to shatter some of these dreams that you have and be adults here and be mature and realize what we're really doing. And what we have to realize is that all of that is bullshit. This hyperactive lifestyle is complete bullshit. There's no happiness there. No happiness. And anyone that you point to, some celebrity or some friend of yours or a boss of yours who you can point to and say, well, Leo, look at that person. You know, he's super hyperactive. He's super successful and he lives a glamorous lifestyle and his lifestyle is awesome. He's so fulfilled. No, he's not. He's not fulfilled at all. The reason he's hyperactive is because he's not fulfilled. A fulfilled person doesn't need to be hyperactive. You get this? This is a very deep truth. I challenge you to actually go and find these people who you think have a great hyperactive lifestyle that you want to emulate. I challenge you to actually look deeper at what their lifestyle is like and look and actually examine how fulfilled are they. Now, that's a difficult thing to examine because you usually can't ask these people. And even if you do, a lot of times they'll lie to you and they'll tell you, oh, yeah, my life is great. Because this is such a subtle thing. Fulfillment, you know, successful people lie to themselves about how fulfilled they are all the time because it's scary as fuck to admit that all your success did not get you the fulfillment that you wanted. You could spend 10 years building a company that brings in $50 million for you, and then a time will come when that person has to be honest with himself or not, but the time will come where he has to make that decision of like, do I admit that this $50 million in these last 10 years hasn't increased my fulfillment at all? Or do I just, you know, at this point, it's a sunk cost. And it's like, I'm just going to keep going down this road because even though the road is leading towards hell, you know, I'm already so far down this path that I have no other options. I can't turn back. Most people don't even have the psychological awareness to see that this battle is going on inside of them. All of this stuff is largely unconscious. That's why even talking to these people is not often going to be helpful for you. So be very careful about assuming who in the, you know, in the popular culture, as far as celebrities go and so forth, is actually fulfilled. Most of these people are not. It requires a lot of wisdom on your part. I might even say spiritual wisdom. To really see that this materialistic lifestyle that all your friends are living and that you've been living up to now is really pointless. It's really pointless. And on your deathbed, if you're lucky to have that moment of just kind of being there and reflecting on your life, you're going to regret this. You're going to really, really, really regret this. And you're going to really wish that you listened to me right now. But it's very difficult to listen to me because you're afraid of where this will take you. You're afraid how this might sabotage your already existing success. And you're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel guilty of pulling out of these social relationships and social obligations that you've committed yourself to. But let me tell you a little bit more about the strategy. So the strategy here that I'm proposing is that you're going to create space in your life to focus on only a couple of key things, and you're going to slice and minimize everything else very ruthlessly. So here are the key things. There's only like a handful of them. I can count them on two hands. Here are the key things that you need to focus on in life. Every human being, this is true for every human being. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a wealthy CEO. I don't care if you live in Africa or in Asia or in America or whatever your situation is. You need this. This is it. Meditation, enlightenment, your life purpose, learning or education, slow, deliberate, mindful action, contemplation, and being. That's like, I don't know, what was that? Like seven or eight things? Those are the things that you need to focus on in life. Everything else, as far as you're concerned, you shouldn't even be concerned about. All right? This means, and this is where I'm going to get some hate. You're going to hate me for this, but oh well. This means minimizing your friendships, your relationships, your family commitments, your hobbies, and any kind of entertaining, recreational, fun activities that you have. It means minimizing all this stuff. Right? If you do this as a strategy, think about this. Be a fucking strategic thinker. What's going to happen to your life? Think it through 10, 20, 30 years down the road if you do this. Now, I'm not telling you to become like a Unabomber who lives in a shack and hates human beings. That's not what I'm saying, and you know, who never has fun. So don't take it to that extreme. But just think about it. You're meditating. You're focusing on enlightenment. You're focusing on your life purpose. You're focusing on learning and education. You're focusing on deliberate, mindful action. You're focusing on contemplation, introspection. And you're focusing on just being. Think about what happens if you do that for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. If you do that, I don't know if your imagination can even imagine this, but your life will be fucking extraordinary. It'll be ridiculously satisfying. Ridiculously satisfying. And if you don't do it, if you do what the average person does, which is kind of just like diddle around with their friends and do a little bit of work and some hobby stuff and a bunch of family crap and some, you know, fun entertainment, go to the movies, go to the beach, all this kind of shit. You do all this for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. What is your life going to look like? It's going to look like the average life. You're going to have a shit life. You're not going to really enjoy what you do. You're going to waste a lot of your energy on relationships that aren't even with you anymore. You're going to waste hundreds and thousands of hours and all this emotional labor on relationships, people that you don't even know anymore. Because these people will leave you. They will die on you. They will divorce you. They will get angry at you. You know, all this kind of stuff will happen. And you're going to disperse all your energy. You're not really going to focus on yourself. You're not going to cultivate being. You're just going to be distracted all the time. Hamster in a wheel. And then you're just going to be like in your 60s. And you're going to feel like life hasn't really been fulfilling. You're going to feel like you've kind of been cheated at life. And you're not even going to be motivated anymore to go out and do anything big. Because you've kind of felt like, well, I've already done everything and nothing has really satisfied me. And you're going to really believe that satisfaction is not possible by that point. And that's even a kind of a best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you get depressed, anxious, fucking commit suicide. That's not out of the question. Not out of the question at all. So many people are depressed, anxious, total victims. Why not? Because you're not turning in on yourself. Right? You're not strategizing properly. You're being a stupid strategic thinker. I've been doing this lately in my own life. I mean, I've been doing this. The reason I can speak pretty confidently about this is because I've been doing this basically since I was a teenager. Since I was a kid, even before I was a teenager, I've just kind of naturally been gravitating towards this kind of lifestyle. My life is not busy. I don't fill it with a bunch of activities, a bunch of entertainment and this and that and going here and going there and travel and this and that and all these social obligations. I don't do that shit. I have some of that. I'm not totally isolated, but if most people would look at me, they'd say, oh man, your life is kind of like simple. It's kind of like, even it kind of looks from the surface, it almost looks a little bit like below average. But let me tell you, it's not. On the inside, my life is like fucking amazing, right? Where it counts. It's fucking amazing. And lately, just over the last few months, you know, I've been making some tweaks to make it even more amazing by just like recommitting to this strategy. Because there are times where I kind of deviate from the strategy because I just forget. So in a sense, this is as much a reminder for me as it is for you. Right? But my lifestyle is more like becoming more and more monastic, like that of a monk or like that of a sage. It's really the lifestyle of a sage. That's what I'm really telling you to do here. Create the lifestyle of a sage. So I've been kind of like trying to implement that more and more in my life, giving myself more free time to just pick up a book and read it, more free time just to meditate for an extra hour if I want to. Sometimes I'll meditate for 3-4 hours a day. When I do that, I feel fucking amazing. I can't even describe to you how amazing it is. I was meditating the other day. Whew, man, that meditation session, That 60 minutes of meditation was more powerful and more rewarding than any orgasm you'll ever have in your life. And I'm not even that deep into meditation. I'm not even talking about a samadhi experience or an enlightenment experience. I'm just talking about plain old, just basic meditation with monkey mind still going on. But still, that experience is amazing. The rewards that come when you turn inside and you really focus on yourself through contemplation and cultivation of being is incredible. It's incredible. I got these like flavors of going back almost to childhood. It feels like I'm back in childhood again. That kind of like, that sense of just being, that kind of freedom of being a child. of really being connected existentially to reality without a bunch of mental filters and beliefs and stories and, you know, schedules and having to do this and that. Just being free. Like, I had memories of me being back in school, you know, those really fond memories of being back in school during the summer vacations where you've got nothing to do. You can just like lay around the house, do nothing. And in a sense, it's kind of boring, but also in a certain sense, it's like you're really connected with life. That's what your life should be all the time. Your life should feel like a summer vacation from school. And you better believe that's possible. This is something you can create. This is something you can cultivate. But you have to decide on it as a strategy, because this is not something you just do in a week or in a month. This is a long-term strategy. It takes years to really follow through on this strategy. Not to mention, it's initially very scary and counterintuitive. For me personally, what this required to start to implement this strategy is it required letting go of success and goals. I'm actually a very success-oriented guy. I'm not some bohemian hippie. I love success. I have a business that I run, right? If the more I work on my business, the more money that I earn. So for me, you know, this is actually very tangible stuff, but I have to let go of that stuff. So like recently, I've been just kind of like letting go of certain goals for my business, certain success goals, certain financial goals. I'll just push those off, you know, for the next year. Not to say I'll never pursue them again, but just like I'm giving myself more room to breathe, more room to think, to contemplate, to read, to meditate, to be. So I've been doing that, and that's been a challenge, but I've been doing it, and I'm still going to keep doing that. Also, what's required of me is to say no a lot. So when people come to me with stuff like, hey, I want you to do this and do that, and why don't we do this with the business, and what about this here, and let's, you know, let's go out and have fun, and let's, you know, do this social gathering thing. And basically, I just say no. Like, no, 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 no. Because I can see, I can connect the dots. I connect the dot between where I am now and when I'm going to be on my deathbed. I connect those dots and I just see that when I'm on my deathbed, all this social shit that's happening, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. All this fun, entertaining stuff, watching movies, playing video games, all this crap you do, it's not going to matter. What's going to matter is your connection to being, to reality. Are you fucking connected to reality? Are you conscious of your own existence on a regular basis? Or are you conscious of it like once a month? Right? So what this requires is a cultivation of a spiritual connection to reality. That's all spirituality is. It's not some fucking voodoo. Spirituality is a connection to the present fucking moment as it is without all the shit that your mind spins every single hour of every single day. That's a connection that needs to be cultivated. If you're going to be attempting to implement this strategy, remember that it's a long-term strategy and that you're not going to be able to for the first few months. It's not going to feel like, oh my God, everything Leo told me is coming true. It's not going to feel that way because you haven't cultivated any connection to reality probably for years. This is all new to you. So it'll take you some time to get it up and running. But let me assure you that it's going to be a very worthwhile investment if you do. And one final thing that this will require of you, it's been requiring it of me, is that you let go, release, and exhaust your carnal cravings. What I mean by carnal cravings is cravings for food, cravings for sex, cravings for drugs, cravings for music, cravings for fun, entertainment, and stimulation of every sort. You know, whatever your favorite addictions are. You have to exhaust those, release those. Because as long as you're completely consumed by your carnal cravings, you're not going to be able to execute this strategy. So if you're addicted to a bunch of those, check out my episode called Overcoming Addiction. It'll help you with that. And guess what the solution to that is? The solution is just sitting and doing nothing. That's the solution. It's very simple. The problem is you don't want to do it because you don't see far enough down the road to what your current lifestyle is going to produce. It's going to produce shit. The lifestyle that you think is great, this kind of westernized, modern, fast-paced lifestyle of success, this is a shit lifestyle. It can't even come close, not even close, not even in the same ballpark, not even like three orders of magnitude of closeness to the awesomeness that your life will be like when you actually follow through on this strategy that I'm telling you about of minimalizing your lifestyle, and you execute on that for, let's say, 5, 10, 20 years. Come talk to me then after you've done that. You're going to come talk to me. You're going to look at me. Tears will pour down your face. Because you're going to know that this point right now was the turning point that made the difference between life that was a life that was meaningful for you and rich and amazing, this life of being, and the kind of shitty, ordinary, mundane life of doing and success that you otherwise would have lived. Right? It's literally the difference between a fully lived life and a life pissed down the toilet. That's the difference. So the choice is up to you. All right, that's it. I'm out of here. Signing off. Go ahead. Please click the like button for me. Post your comments down below. Share this episode with a friend. And lastly, come check out actualize.org. This is my website. I have a free newsletter on there that keeps you up to date on this journey. Like I said, if you want to execute on this strategy, it's a long-term strategy. You can't just do it over 1 week with a couple of my episodes. Watch more of them. Watch 100 of them. Watch them for a couple of years. It's getting to the point where, you know, actualize.org has been running for like almost 3 years now, 2-3 years, somewhere around there. I've been releasing videos very consistently, and people have been watching them. And it's getting to the point where people have actually now been implementing some of the stuff that I say for a year or two. And man, I get emails from them that just tell me exactly what I was just telling you. They see the actual results. The stuff I'm telling you is some of the most practical, most directly applicable things that you could ever hear on this planet for increasing your fulfillment. I don't just tell you theories. Sometimes they sound like theories. They're not theories. Implement them. See through your own eyes, in your direct experience, when you actually implement this in your life, what happens. Test it out, if you dare. All right? Go check out the newsletter. Sign up to it. Check out my Life Purpose course. That might help you as well. Stick around for more, and I'll see you soon.